This is VSiN by the Books on VSiN, the sports betting network.
We begin hour number two. It is VSiN by the Books. Dave Ross here, downtown Las Vegas at Circus Sports. He is our closer. Jensen Lewis back home in Cleveland, Ohio. When are you hitting the road again?
TBD. We at least know. We at least know it'll be next Wednesday when I'll head to Omaha with the Circa Gang, our VSiN crew here, and excited to do our show live from Omaha Thursday and Friday next week. Obviously, I'll hop on Money Moves with Stormy and JVT and Follow the Money. Mitch and Pauly. I'll be on with Mitch and Pauly later today, obviously, to talk Super Regionals. We'll talk them coming up here as well on our show, but. It would be nice. It's a win-win, right? So I'll find out if I'm doing Super Regionals later today. If I do, great. If not, week at home to kind of rest and recharge. We get the Belmont coming up, so I actually get to have a Saturday where I can grill out on the new grill and just kind of hang for a little bit and recharge. So it'd be fun.
Yeah, you're still flying at about, what, 85% of Jensen Lewis?
Full
Jensen?
Yeah. Like, any of you boys seen an aircraft carrier around here?
Walk in the park, Kazanski. Let's get to it. Hour number two, our highlights and headlines.
Help your bottom line with today's highlights and headlines.
Jensen, I didn't see before the season began if there was a first to 40 market. It'd be a fun market to have. Kind of like, in the NCAA tournament, first to 10 points, that sort of thing. But the Tigers are the first to 40 wins, that is, on the season. They absolutely bombed the White Sox yesterday, 13-1 on the south side. Kerry Carpenter, not once, but three home runs in this one. Never a sweat if you backed Detroit yesterday on the run line and or money line here, and you laid over the $2 price point. And again, kind of looking the part as arguably the best team in baseball, at least by record, Jensen, that would be Detroit right now as the number one team in baseball. If you had to power rank them, would you have them in the top spot?
Yeah, they would certainly be a candidate. I think just the overall resume is probably as strong as the Yankees. I mean, identical run differentials. In the American League, you look at the record overall is what it is. Some of the superlatives for them, with the way Tarek Skubal has started his year defending the Cy Young, you may have comeback player of the year in Spencer Torkelson. Just an unbelievable cast of characters. And Dave, it's the hardest thing to do in baseball for bullpens year over year. It is a GM's worst nightmare going into the offseason when you've had a really good bullpen, because you're like, how in the heck are we going to get this to happen again next year? Because it rarely materializes where you have the dominance, and Detroit had it. Cleveland and Detroit, two of the best bullpens in the league last year, if not the best two. Detroit has kind of run it back this year, and Cleveland is starting to get back there. But that's usually the one element that GMs will be searching for without fail, either at the beginning of the offseason or into the season where we are right now. So the fact that Detroit has a lot of elements already in-house taken care of, it's a huge advantage for them headed into the rest of this first half of the season and eventually the trade deadline in July.
I'm looking at their division, and I go, it's really good, with all due respect to the White Sox. But the Guardians are a good team six games over. Twins are now a good team after a great May, five games over. Royals still above water, too, at two games over. Is there any value in that? Like, I don't see a Detroit collapse, I guess, is my bigger point here, Jensen. But because you have three good teams behind them, like, I look at the division races here and I go, is there any value in trying to take one of those other three that could actually make a run at Detroit? Or do you really think we're all playing for second place already in the Central?
It's a fair point. And, you and I obviously invested in the Royals there to try and win. And at 16-1, still two games above 500 and, the deficit that they have in the division. If there's any long shot ticket you want to take, that's the one that you want to take from a division price. Now, the hysterical part of it is you look at the difference in the Royals from winning the Central at 16-1 to winning the American League at 19-1. Again, this goes back to my parity argument. I would say for those people that have not gotten in pre-flop, this is a great time to add double digit, and I mean kind of higher, you know, in the 19 to 25 range.
Yeah.
Good time to add probably up to three of those teams for nothing more than potential hedge purposes. So, you know, we talk Texas, we talk Minnesota. I think you can throw Kansas City in there because you're looking at the path to not only the league championship series, Dave, but eventually who you got to run through. And if it is Detroit, you know, it is what it is. I would rather have the familiarity component of a division opponent going into that playoff series, because then it becomes about execution. Like there's not going to be really any secrets between the clubs. Now there might be tweaks at the deadline, but ultimately you kind of know how to go after these guys. And so we saw that play out in the division series between the Tigers and the Guardians and went the distance. And your Lane Thomas grand slam difference from, you know, the Guardians moving on to the Tigers playing the Yankees in the league championship series. So to me, the way to attack the American League is and to each their own. But to me, I think you look at Texas at 22-1. I think you can look at the Royals at 19-1. And if you want the, if you want to like shoot the moon, the Rays at 25-1, not mad at you, because they're so good about getting ahead of the curve, ahead of other teams making moves. And Kevin Cash just finds a way, man. Yeah. When you doubt them, they end up coming up big. So if you're looking for, you know, the Cinderella of the American League, perhaps it's Tampa Bay.
I'm not mad at you. You want to take those longer shots. You get to the postseason, you're sitting on a couple of those tickets. You're alive, baby. That's what we're looking for, trying to find that value. I don't know if there's any value in Colorado, but they did win game number 10 yesterday, 6-4 over the Fighting Fish down there in Miami. They erase an early 4-1 deficit and come back and win this one 6-4. Jetson, you're pros, man. You know, we're still professional athletes, even though you're what? 30 games under 500. It was just insane where you are at this stage of the year here for Colorado, but you do get win number 10. Can you build on it? Like, it still has to feel good. You finally get a win.
Yeah. Hey, we got a win. High five, everybody. And again, it was hysterical for people just joining us. Got a text from a great colleague of mine, Ryan Spielborgs, who does TV for the Colorado Rockies. And he sent us a picture 10 minutes before game time, and it looked like no one was there. I mean, our friends at Foul Territory, I know, posted their own, this one from Tyler Baronsky. We joke, hey, it's in front of tens of thousands. This was in front of tens of tens, maybe 1,000 people there. So, hey, it is what it is. These two franchises going nowhere fast. And also I think you look at potentially, we talk about trade markets. You know, Sandy Alcantara was the guy that everyone was looking at in spring training and say, it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when.
Right.
Right now, Dave, you can't trade for him because he's not pitching like the front end rotation ace that would be a difference maker in the playoffs.
Everybody thought he was going to be the guy. Go get Sandy and everything. All your problems are taken away. Not so fast. By the way, Rockies 10-50 on the year. 10-50. 40 games under, 26 out. Of the Dodgers in first place. Fantastic day. They call it the longest day of golf here in the United States as you try to qualify across the country for a spot in the United States Open. That's going to be next week at Oakmont in Pennsylvania. And if you're watching here at VEASAN.com, just look at this kid. Mason Howell. He's 17 years young, qualified for the Open. He shot 18 under in the 36 holes. Now, I'm trying to find numbers on the kid. I don't see any yet posted out there. For young Mason, he's not going to win the U.S. Open. But who's not rooting for this kid? He said, if I'm paraphrasing here, Jensen, after that, he said, I'd be lying if I said I wasn't nervous. I hugged my parents. It was the happiest day of my life. He's 17. He's in high school, Jensen. Like, I think about the arguments and debates I had daily at the high school lunchroom table. Really, that's what we did. We just debated sports every single day. Like, if Mason came over with his tray and his milk and he's going to play in the U.S. Open at 17, Jensen. You know who's not going to play the U.S. Open? Ricky Fowler, Max Homa. Those guys couldn't qualify yesterday. And this kid did. Like, this is those stories in sports that you go, how did that happen? Jensen, it happened for 17-year-old Mason Howell.
Yeah, and again, we talk about pizza money on Colorado for any of these futures. I mean, what's his number to win the U.S.? Like, you think about, you know, just, again, qualifying for it, let alone competing in it. But first and foremost, what a dream come true. Kid's a teenager. He'll remember it for the rest of his life. He can't even drive himself, you know, to the course. Well, he probably could, but you know, you think about like all the things before you turn 18 and before you turn 21. And oh, by the way, I'm competing against grown men. So what a job, and can't wait to see what happens here and what he will do on that very tough course.
And by the way, I like hearing him say that that was the happiest day of his life, like hugging his parents, like that just, it warms your heart. Like you go, that way to go, kid. Way to go. Go get him. Go hang with the big boys next week at Oakmont with Scotty and Rory and everybody else. That would just be an amazing story to watch. But Mason Howell will be there Thursday and Friday. You know they're going to be checking his credential on the grounds. Like, excuse me, son. No, I'm playing. You're playing here? Yeah. I'm playing this thing. I need some ID. Oh, yeah. Go right ahead, sir. Right to the first tee. Start your day with an edge each and every day. We got the VSiN Daily Morning Bets podcast. It's your first look at the day's betting lines, sharp action, market movement. In just 15 minutes, you're going to get everything you need to know to make smarter wagers, stay ahead of those line moves, all before your first cup of joe of the day. Hosted by VSiN's team of trusted betting experts, the Daily Morning Line, Daily Morning Bets podcast, rather, is fast, focused, and built for bettors just like you. Listen to the VSiN Daily Morning Bets podcast wherever you get your podcasts, or get it on the VSiN Watch app. The sharpest way to start your betting day is the VSiN Daily Morning Bets podcast. When we come back, Torpedo Bat Tuesday, and maybe Jack Kags is going to make his debut on Torpedo Bat Tuesdays. We'll discuss next here. It's VSiN by the Books.
You're tuned in to VSiN by the Books right here on VSiN.
We are back, VSiN by the Books. Dave Ross, Jensen Lewis, going to talk some NFL in the next segment. We'll break down the Indianapolis Colts and their prospects here. And I believe that's the last team, Jensen. We'll have broken down every single NFL team here. How about that? So it moves rather quickly here before you make those wagers in the futures market for the NFL. But if you want to get into some action here on a Tuesday, it is Torpedo Bat Tuesday. And I'm watching the games last night. And I do remember a couple guys coming up, and they were even saying on the broadcast for the Brewers and the Reds, like, boy, there's Torpedo Bats. Everybody just assumed we're going to hit all these jacks. Is there anything, was it a novelty, Jensen? Was it a placebo effect that guys thought, all right, I'm getting a longer area to hit? Is it really making a difference? Because remember, everybody was so freaked out after the first week going, oh, this is illegal. It's like, no. Everybody calm down. Like, has the torpedo bat itself, has that become a novelty?
Welcome to the New York media in their ability to blow anything high. As I told you during week one, I said, let's all pump the brakes. Let's give this like a month or so, and we'll be able to reevaluate. And here we are. It's basically a non-story. But there are guys that have, you know, really found upticks for it. Mm. And it has helped others kind of stabilize you know, some of their consistency. So we shall see overall year over year. I think that's probably what will be the first marker for us. End of the season comparison for guys that started using it day one, and then also comparing that to last year and maybe the last couple of seasons.
So before everybody wants to go out there and ban everything, just relax, give it some time, and let's see if there's actually an unfair advantage out there with the people with the torpedo bats. But we got a big one on this Tuesday because this has been a long time waiting for Royals backers like ourselves going, man, we need some help in the middle of that lineup. Maybe it gets some of that starting today.
Welcome to the jackpot. Jack Caglione finally called up to the Kansas City Royals. In all likelihood, will make his debut tonight in St. Louis. What a great spot to be able to do it. Busch Stadium, the Royals and the Cardinals, two teams playing great ball right now. Again, for people just joining us, number one prospect in Kansas City system, was drafted, you know, just a year or so ago. Number 10 overall prospect by MLB.com. He is the pride of the University of Florida. 322, 15 homers, 56 RBI in 50 games between AA and AAA. So Some prices just starting to be posted here as I was looking around, Dave. Minus $1.90 to record a hit. So almost you got to lay almost $2 for that. But also two or more total bases is plus $1.35. And if you want to go for that, hey, welcome to the bigs, kid, moment, plus $4.60. Oof. To hit his first major league homer on night number one that he's in the lineup.
Very quickly. And again, everybody's going to be different. We've seen guys that come up and they just take right off and ascend. Other guys, it's going to struggle a little bit. What do you think if you're, what's the advice you give to Jack tonight? If it's a Bobby Witt Jr. getting in his ear, like what do you tell the kid before he steps in the dish for the very first time?
Well, first of all, enjoy it, soak it up. And again, for all of us that made our major league debuts, you know, you don't necessarily black out at one point, but you're just, it's just surreal because this is what you've dreamed of. This is what you've worked so hard to do. And you want to be able to enjoy that moment. And then it's down to work. And then just kind of let your athleticism take over. It is such a special day. You know, it is a lot of emotion. You'll be drained after it. So he may be able to bounce back a little bit tomorrow. But all in all, very exciting time for Royal fans.
Yeah, you know the family's got to be just pumped to be there tonight in St. Louis. So exciting for Jack Kags to get it started tonight for the Cardinals and the Royals. New York State of Mind. It's one of my favorite Billy Joel songs. Like, I feel like it's underrated, right? Because we're always going to look to all the classics. But I feel like it's a pretty good one. You've got a Billy theme today with this one?
Yeah, a rematch of the American League Championship Series here between the Guardians and the Yankees from just a year ago. My, how different these teams look this time around. However, we do have some staying power here and a guy that loves the bright lights of Yankee Stadium. And that is Jose Ramirez, who is on a hot streak of his own right now. What, 28 game on base streak. And he is almost a 400 career hitter at Yankee Stadium. How about that one for you, D. Ross? Carlos Santana, also on a hot streak himself, 357 pair of doubles and homers career against Carlos Rodon. Let's go two hits, runs, RBI. For both guys, you can find J-Ram at minus $1.40 on DraftKings. Carlos Santana plus $1.20 in that department as well. Again, tough customer in Rodon, the way that he's been pitching this year. But for whatever reason, Guardians usually find a way to get through. Now, last year in the postseason, they couldn't do a damn thing against him. but I think that just knowing what Jose's track record is and how hot both these guys are right now, let's play both those guys in the hitter-friendly ballpark there.
Have you seen Billy in concert? I saw him decades ago in D.C. If you go to Madison Square Garden, they hang Billy Joel's, he's like hanging in the rafters, right, for all the appearances at MSG. And like, with all due respect to, you know, New York State of Mind, Scenes from an Italian Restaurant, maybe my favorite Billy song. Do you have a fave?
I don't. And I know that he just had to cancel all his events because of the health issues. So, you know, obviously speedy recovery for him, but no, I have not yet. So hopefully he makes it. That's what Michelle and I were worried about, you know, with Motley Crue, is that, you know, at some point these guys aren't going to be able to do it the way they, yes. Yeah. So I'm so glad we got to see him on the stadium tour a couple of years ago because, you know, they're coming to Vegas.
Yeah.
They're in September, so can't wait.
Love the fact that you love the headbangers out there as well. let's get one more today on Torpedo Bat Tuesday. What do you have maybe for a little cycle action out there?
Yeah, we have a couple of guys that have actually hit for the cycle, just not in a game, but overall against the opposing pitchers that they'll be facing today. So, again, another guy swinging the bat really well for our Red Legs and TJ Friedl. He has a 375 average career against Freddie Peralta. So game two of that Brewers Red Series underway tonight from Great American Ballpark. Identical average and results for Austin Riley going up against Zach Gallen of the Diamondbacks, who has struggled here as of late. So let's keep it simple. Friedl and Riley to record a hit parlay. You can get that at plus $1.16 on DraftKings. So I think the Braves, an opportunity for that offense to kind of flex a little bit tonight. I think Austin Riley will be right in the middle of it.
Okay, I've got some things and observations from last night's Reds game against the Brew Crew. One, the Reds were 24-6 when they scored first so far. 24-6. They're now 24-7. They scored twice in the first yesterday, and I'm thinking, 24-6, 2-0 first. But they had second and third, two in, and then Benson's coming up, the rookie, and he strikes out in three pitches. And you leave a couple ducks on the ponds there. You can't score with only one out to build on that lead. And then they don't score again. Jensen, the other nugget from that game was, as you get late, going into the seventh inning, they're 0-23 when trailing after six. Now they're 0-24. Like, whoa. These are rather glaring statistics of normally a really good front runner. They didn't close last night, but they don't come back. Did you start to feel that as a deal? 0-24 of not being able to rally one time? I mean, that's why they're three games under 500.
Yeah, no doubt. And also from, just a statistical comparison, when you're underwater at home, it kind of also tells you that your bullpen, has not been able to keep you in games late. And we know that's the case. So real tough sledding here for the Reds thus far.
He just, I'm waiting for that one come from behind. It's just one run deficit, by the way. Is it not asking a whole lot? Come from behind. Maybe that gets the floodgates going a little bit there in Cincinnati. But right now, 0-24 when you're trailing after six, not good. Want to know where the money is moving? That's always good. You need to have that information here. You're going to get it when you are a VSiN Pro subscriber. So right now, for as little as $9.99 for your very first month, you can have access to all the betting splits that Jensen and I do and everybody here at the network does, because you're going to have that here at Circa and also at DraftKings. So you can see where some of the professional bettors are going, maybe some more of the recreational money is coming in, and figure out the most advantageous way to make those wagers. So right now you can get VSiN's exclusive betting splits for as little as $9.99 for your very first month when you go to VSiN.com/subscribe. All right, when we come back, we're going to get back into our football conversation. And Jensen, this will be the last team that we're going to break down here, as we've done now every single team in the NFL. Do your opinions change now, or are you like pretty locked in, barring injury, when we get to the NFL here, and we're not rooting for those? They're going to happen at training camp, preseason. But now that we've broken down and will break down every single team, do you feel confident enough to make some of those future wagers after you've really looked at what the teams look like post-draft and really post-free agency?
A better idea, but we'll probably wait till we get into that first week of the preseason. And as you said, the injury issue, because we see the non-contact injuries all the time, right? Again, you'd hate to put your hard-earned money on something until you kind of have a better semblance and proximity to week one.
And maybe some more big free agency news or quarterback trades that could happen as well. So we'll get to some of that here when you come back with us here, VSiN by the Books.
You're tuned in to VSiN by the Books right here on VSiN.
We are back. VSiN by the Books. Dave Ross and Jensen Lewis here with you on a Tuesday. And yes, never too early to talk about the NFL and certainly some of the future markets out there. We're breaking down every single team as we've done since free agency and the draft completely concluded. It's not completely. I shouldn't say that, because, again, we're still waiting on big shoes to drop potentially in Pittsburgh with Aaron Rodgers. We're hearing rumors about Kirk Cousins could be on the move from the ATL. So some teams' portfolios might not be completely done just yet. Detroit now, injuries, and now you get a retirement from a guy like Frank Ragnow. That's going to upset your apple cart a little bit. So I don't want to say that these 53s, whatever those rosters are going to look like, are set in stone. But for the Colts, what's interesting here is the quarterback room. I think you have to kind of start there. And by the way, the passing of Jim Irsay, hearts go out to the Irsay family. This is one of those, leaders and families, obviously moved from Baltimore to Indianapolis with his father. They're going to be wearing a patch this year to honor Jim Irsay, who passed away last month in May at a very young age. And I look at that, Jensen, I go, does that affect anything between the lines? Obviously, he was one of those owners. And I had a great conversation about this with Jeff Schwartz, shameless plug for GM Shuffle, wherever you get those podcasts, yesterday, about in team sports, sometimes there are owners that are very hands-on and owners that are very hands-off. He was a hands-on guy in those locker rooms. The players kind of feel that. Does that factor in at all for this upcoming year for the Colts?
Oh, it has to, right? Because, you think about week one at home opener, obviously, all the remembrances and honoring him for everything that he meant to the organization. You think of the dignitaries, former players that will be on hand. The emotion in the building will be that, you know, proverbial win this one for Jim. And of course, I'm sure they'll have a patch or, you know, a sticker on the helmets, things of that nature. So absolutely that goes in the handicap. And, you know, when you and I put our survivor hats on, you know, that's certainly one to think about, right? Is if you're going to steal one and use a team that has a projected win total of 7.5, would that be the spot? You know, have the Dolphins shown you anything this off season? And that's why I said I remain on the sidelines for most of the futures until we get into week one of the preseason for injury purposes. But even more for a continuity purpose, like, how does a team actually look? Do you even feel good, you know, backing a team like the Dolphins on the road in game one, even in the spread, or even to win the game outright? So just from that standpoint, Dave, I think you have to consider, regardless of who the quarterback is, just the emotional component of how the Colts will come into week one wanting to really win that for not only the community, but for Jimmy Irsay's memory.
Now, the total here is sitting at 7.5. It's evenly juiced at -$1.10 either way. And, you know, my proclivity would have been to say I have to look to the under. But then when I really do look at the schedule, they could get off to a really good start, right? So a very winnable, as you mentioned, emotional game with those patches on the jersey for Jim Irsay for week one against the Dolphins. They're going to wear those all year, by the way. And then week two, you stay at home against Denver. I know Denver's an improved playoff team, obviously, from a year ago. But still, that's at home. Before you go on the road against the Titans, we'll see what the Titans look like. But there is a shot, an outside shot, that all of a sudden this team starts off 2-1. And if you're Anthony Richardson and or Daniel Jones, we all assume it's going to be 15 behind center or five behind center here in Anthony Richardson, 15 in college. But do you think that Daniel Jones, that this is a real quarterback competition? I don't know why else they pluck him away from the practice squad from Minnesota unless they really feel like we're bringing him in to compete, if not show young Anthony Richardson how to play the position.
You and I could probably have this discussion for weeks, you know, headed up to the regular season of like, okay, you know, what matters most? And you know, is it a guy that can just execute the game plan? Is it a game manager? Is it someone that can make the dynamic plays, create on third down? I think you are going to learn a lot about all the offseason stuff we've heard about. Is Anthony Richardson truly a cancer in that locker, or was this just all a media narrative, something made up? You know, you hear rumblings from players about, you know, how they didn't like certain things. And then you have Daniel Jones coming in from the outside, and he hasn't really had, quote unquote, a lot of success even with his tenure of the Giants. So I think a lot of things get ironed out here in training camp because you're in the trenches together. You know, emotions run high in you know, those joint practices when you do that. So you learn a lot about your guys. And I'm anxious to see how that competition brings out the best, and I hope it's the best, to make that quarterback decision as difficult for that group as possible.
Okay, let's have some fun with Survivor here. If you really want to go out on a limb and you want to take the Colts week one, they are 1.5 favorites against the Dolphins at home. Like, these are the type of things you go, oh my goodness, why would I want to risk my $1,000 entry fee here for Circus Survivor with a $15 million guarantee to the winner on Anthony Richardson week one at home, emotional setting against the Dolphins? You could also look to week five against the Raiders. But you know who else is probably saying week five is a winnable game? The Raiders. They're probably going, oh, we can go to Indianapolis and win. Pete Carroll can go there and win. So you've got week one potentially. You've got week five potentially at home. You could get really, you know what, week six against the Cardinals coming in. Again, they're a 1.5 favorite against the Dolphins. Imagine what those numbers are going to look like weeks five and six. And then past that, where else would you go? Week eight, they host the Titans, but that's a divisional game. We talk about those. And then on the last half of the schedule, again, maybe the Jags coming in week 17, but another divisional game. Like, Jensen, how would you navigate the Colts via Survivor?
So want to stay away from the divisional games, right? So week three is off the table for me. We know that the house of horrors for them has been going to Jacksonville. So if you wanted to fade them, week 14 on the road there is another spot if you're late in the game. And that would be, you know, again, hoping that Liam Cohen and company are actually a viable option there for you too. Again, I think the week one emotional narrative is one that I may hang my hat on. And that would certainly be a zag when we would envision most people would want to be on Denver hosting Tennessee and a rookie quarterback in his first start at Mile High. I know a lot of people are going to like the Commanders at home against the Giants, although very tricky spot with that being a divisional game. This is either you burn them early and try and sneak one through.
Yep.
Or in my mind, I think you got to wait and see the quarterback issues play themselves out and see where the continuity of that offense is before you can fire them in Survivor.
You know me, when it comes to futures totals, I'm backing coaches and quarterbacks that I trust. I think they have neither here. Anthony Richardson and Shane Steichen. Steichen got off on the good foot there, right? And you go back a couple of years and you get a flat pass, and if that pass is completed with Gardner Minshew, and they're moving on potentially to the postseason. That feels like many moons ago now. And yet they still did win 8 games a year ago. So I know it didn't look good aesthetically, but this is still around a 500 team and above 500 2 years ago. Like, should we be looking at this team differently? Because I think all the focus is all on the quarterback. And yet overall, this hasn't been as bad, I think, that it might feel to Indy backers.
No, it hasn't been that bad. But again, you're judged by wins and losses in this league. And I think ultimately in that division, when we believe it is Houston as the class of it, and then what is the chasm, you know, between them and the so-called challenger?
Are they the second best team in the division? That's the debate.
Isn't that fascinating? Like, you really can't draw the line between Indy, Jacksonville. I don't think we're going to put the Titans up there unless Cam Ward is Jaden Daniels reincarnated here. Mm-hmm. So that I think is a fascinating look here, especially through the first 3 to 4 weeks of the season.
And it's priced accordingly in the South, the conversation we're having here, because the Jags are the second betting choice. Brand new head coach down there as well. Duval plus 260. And then there's Indy, and it's kind of, I don't want to say seismic, but when you go from plus $1.15 for the Texans to win the division to plus 380 for the Colts, I mean, that's some generous distance between 1 and 3, at least late in the division. Even though it's the same win total as the Jags, look at that, those numbers. It's a full $1.20 off of Jacksonville. So, Jensen, the betting market's even implying here that they're the potentially third-best team in their own division.
Isn't that fascinating, seeing where, you know, the Titans' price is?
Yeah.
Even with a rookie quarterback, it's not double digits, and it's not anywhere close to it. I think that is unique. Knowing what the pedigree of Cam Ward and all the reports, man, everything has been that this guy is going to be something special. So for our purposes, I hope Cam Ward comes out of the gates just blazing. I hope he is one of the great stories to start, because, man, does that make that division even more fascinating.
Yeah, it might tighten up those prices even more. So Indianapolis is going to be a sneaky team to try to get through in Circa Survivor, that's for sure. You want to bet smarter this football season? Become a VSiN Pro subscriber. $41 off right now by using the promo code BOOK for your annual subscription. You go to VSiN.com/subscribe. Not only the daily best bets, betting splits, watch app access, and the betting guide, Josh Applebaum, NFL Smart Sharp Betting Playbook. It's all there for you at VSiN.com/subscribe.
You're tuned in to VSiN by the Books, right here on VSiN.
We continue VSiN by the Books on this Tuesday edition. We're going to have Colby Marcio join us at the beginning of hour number 3, talk some Major League Baseball. JVT will join us in hour number 3 as well. Maybe some different angles and ways to potentially bet the Pacers and OKC. If you don't want to just go straight money line and totals and sides and spreads here, some different ways to attack that series here. But Jensen, you know, we were talking about the U.S. Open, the longest day of golf, and everybody, whether you're a pro, whether you're a kid, you get to try to qualify for that, and how it's just such a different feel for what we're used to in golf. Can you tell the people about what you experienced in the Super Regionals here for college baseball? Because I don't know that people fully grasp how different this scenario is from what they do in regular college baseball to get to this point to qualify for the College World Series. Can you tell the people what that experience is like over the weekend?
Yeah, so simply, you know, regionals is four teams at one site, seeded one through four. It's a double elimination tournament. About 83% to 90% of teams that start that regional 2-0 end up moving on to super regionals. And so the difference this year is we've had a boatload of chaos. We had a lot of those top one seeds, those host teams, ending up having to try and go through the loser's bracket, some of them not even making their respective regional final. My Vanderbilt Commodores, number one overall seed, bounced even before that. Number two overall seed, Texas, getting bounced by UTSA, in a lot of other chaos. So if you win that regional, you move on to super regionals. And similar to where the bracket is for men's basketball, the committee has eight national seeds. And so those teams, if they move on to supers, automatically the higher seed would end up hosting that super regional. So we have a few instances here already of those national seeds moving on. In the case of upsets, they would then go to the highest remaining seed. And so where we have Cinderella Alive and the Murray State Racers, they as the number four seed out of the Oxford regional match up against the number two seed Duke Blue Devils, who won the Athens regional that I covered. So by virtue of the seeding, Duke as the higher seed will now host Murray State in Durham for their respective super regionals. So again, super regionals, best two out of three. The host team will be the home team in game one. That host team will then be the road team in game two. If there is a winner take all in game three, the host team will be the home team for that winner take all game. So again, I know some people asking us on social media, hey, for some of the winner take all games, you had that host team as the road team. Well, they end up trying to get each team an equal amount of last at bats, if you will. It's a stupid rule.
Yep.
Why even have yourself as the host team? So here are super regional matchups for those of you watching on VSiN.com, VSiN Watch app. The remaining national seeds: number three, Arkansas; number four, Auburn; number five, North Carolina; number six, LSU; number eight, Oregon State; number nine, Florida State; number 13, Coastal Carolina; number 14, Tennessee; and number 15, UCLA. Dave, this is a fabulous mishmash of teams that should have been there, teams that are surprises, and then, as I said, a couple of Cinderellas, most notably Murray State and UTSA, who will be out in Los Angeles against number 15 UCLA.
Love it. I want to get to some of your plays and your leans that you have here out there for the people. Again, for people that are like, oh, leans. Remember, leans are just that. This is where we're leaning to. Haven't gotten to the window with it yet, but you might want to consider some of these plays out there. And LSU is interesting because we talked about them a lot in the program yesterday. You mentioned it would have been a real Cinderella 116 matchup. And it was life and death there for the boys down there in Baton Rouge for a while. They did pull it out. Didn't cover, by the way, you were laying the 5.5 runs yesterday. And as I was leaving the show yesterday, I was stopped by a couple people here at Circa that wanted to talk about LSU. So now when you see them get through and their $4 betting favorite against West Virginia, comeback there is plus $3. What do you make of the Tigers now? Is it almost like, all right, we had that 116 scare, like you have sometimes in college basketball. Does that let them kind of breathe that sigh of relief a little bit?
Yeah, it's a great analogy, and that's the perfect way to place it, Dave. It really would have been that consummate, you know, 16 beating a one seed had Little Rock gotten past LSU. So now LSU will host that super regional against West Virginia. West Virginia won the Tucson regional last year, the one that I covered out west, and they are back. So back-to-back super regionals. Last year, their first ever appearance as a program in super regionals. They're back. Steve Savins, their first year head coach, phenomenal job. He was assistant to Randy Mazey last year. 3-1 for them to beat LSU. And I have to tell you, we gave out some potential ads to people if they wanted to jump in. LSU has now been halved as far as their national championship odds. You could have gotten them upwards of plus 750 when the conference tournament started. They are now tied as a betting the top betting choice at plus 370. I would expect that they take care of business. They'll have their attention with them. They're not going to have West Virginia sneak up on them whatsoever.
Florida State, it's basically minus $1.15 either way against Oregon State here. So it could be those plucky Beavers against the Seminoles. But again, on DK, this number has been shorted dramatically too, right? Could have had them at a much bigger number than you can have today.
We gave out Florida State as a possible ad at 35-1. They are all the way down to 12-1 now. And as you said, Dave, they represent, you know, that 8-9 matchup there. They'll be on the road in Corvallis against the Oregon State Beavers. I think that represents the best chance for an upset. Florida State out of the ACC. The ACC has had an absolute banner tournament thus far. And so I think the Seminoles very live in that regional.
Arkansas right now, minus $1.30 against Tennessee in that matchup as well. And now when you look at the Razorbacks here, could we make the case for the SEC here? Their number's been shorted, but not dramatically. What I'm seeing, 450 down to 380. How do we size up the Hogs at this juncture?
Yeah, and again, Dave, this was a team, I think, before the tournament that had all the ingredients of being a national championship contender. Could have got them at plus 450. They're down to about plus 380. So no shock there. One SEC team we know at least is getting to Omaha. And that is a far cry from what they expected, having eight regional host sites. And so losing a lot of those teams, pretty remarkable and a big stain on the conference overall. Right now, you obviously lean Arkansas, small favorite at home, minus $1.30. Vahiva Aloy, the SEC Player of the Year, they're right in the middle of that Arkansas lineup. Tony Vitello's group had to go to a winner-take-all game yesterday in the Knoxville Regional. They get past Wake Forest. That's an upstart group. They had to use their Friday night ace, Liam Doyle, in relief. He should be fine with enough rest this week to come back and be able to start that opener on Friday. That, if you are looking for atmosphere, Dave,
ooh,
oh my God, that place is going to be bananas at Baum Walker Stadium. It is two teams that do not like each other. It is a team in Tennessee that if you are in the entertainment business and you like a lot of flashiness and you like bat flips and you like attitude, the Tennessee Volunteers are for you. But if you're a Woo Pig Suey backer and you think Dave Van Horn's crew can get it done at home, that will be one of the most hard-fought series and hard-fought Super Regionals.
You figured out a way that potential lean here for a little small parlay to turn some minuses into a plus number. What are you looking at there?
Yeah, so you're looking for leverage opportunities, especially with the host sites. And we talked about North Carolina as maybe the top option in the ACC weeks ago. You could have got them at 15-1. They're down to 7-1. And, you know, barring something unforeseen, and Arizona has played very well this year, North Carolina's pitching and the way their offense is right now, they should be too much for the Wildcats. Duke gets a great matchup. The only caveat for them, Murray State is the Cinderella along with UTSA. We need to wait for the status of Ben Miller, one of their star middle of the order bats. He had a wrist injury that kept him out of the regional final. And then AJ Gracia, you and I talked about it yesterday, this whole celebration suspension got ejected for wearing the construction helmet. Duke is going to appeal that. And I got to say, Dave, it is the dumbest rule in college baseball. There was no intent for him to carry it on the field. The video that people have seen online, he clearly is trying to get it off. He might have been a step out of the dugout to celebrate with his teammates. If the NCAA does not overturn that suspension, that is absolute ridiculousness on such a level that it needs to be blown way out of proportion to make an example. This kid needs to be reinstated. He needs to be eligible to play on Friday night.
I mean, what are we talking about, NCAA? Don't do this to the kid. I'm so with Jensen on this. Pretty good breakdown, Jensen. It's almost like you cover this stuff. And you're going to be there. It's just a little bit, right? by the way, you're going to be out there in Omaha with our crew here at VSiN, so you can join Money Moves, Follow the Money, certainly our show as well. We're road tripping it, baby. June 12th through the 14th, special editions of those shows live from the iconic Rocco's in Omaha, Nebraska. So do not forget to check us out as we take the show on the road to Omaha, Nebraska.